Hey now, what's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. So good to be here. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, so what'd you get into? What's going on? What's cracking? How you feeling? How you living? Let's get it. Lots to get done on this Monday. Let me start you off with that telephone number. Same as it ever was. Toll free. Nationwide. 1-800-636-8686. Open phones to start. My first interview is at 9:40 Pacific time. So go ahead. Hit me up right now. You may not be able to see it. In fact, I know you can't see it. But on the other side of the glass, I've got the same crew. From my left to my right. Alvy. Chalk. And in the back row, the old man, Rit. You've got to get through Chalk to get to me. Just make sure you know what you want to talk about. The guy's not that hard. It's not that hard. He'll put you up. Have a take. Don't suck. Make it better. You've had some time away from me. I've had some time away from you. It's good to be back. Let's do it. 1-800-636-8686. Also, hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. And yes, you may still email us at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveTake.com. Coming up at 9:40, Adrian Amos, safety for the Packers. Coming up at 10:20, Andy Staples, a college football insider for The Athletic. And then we will chase that by having a conversation with Charles Robinson at 10:40. Third hour is open, except for the ATP, which we have every single Monday. All right, let's get it. Pick up the phone, lob me a call, get in the rotation, get on the air. Make it better. If you need some help, here it is. Hell of an NFL weekend, wasn't it? Lots to cover. The NFL roundup on this Monday. You've got the Packers handling their business once again. You have Matt Stafford becoming Matt Schaub. You've got the Browns and the Ravens facing off in one of the uglier Sunday night tilts you're ever going to see. The Bengals and the Patriots both make big-time statements. In fact, they made big statements, but they're not even going to make it into the opening recap because they get their own take. So where to start? Where to start? Oh, I know. I'm going to start with the Vikings. Yeah, I said it. So how was your weekend? Get up into anything embarrassing? Because Kirk Cousins did. Oh, Kirk had himself a moment at the worst possible moment. The Vikes were trailing the 49ers by 8 with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Fourth and goal from the 3.5-yard line. The Vikings are going for it. Of course they are. So if you're going to go for it in that situation, you want to make sure. You want to make sure everybody is on the same page. You want to make sure the order of operations are all set up properly. You want your receivers in the right spot. You want your quarterback lined up under the center, not under the guard. Roll it, Alvy.
Oh, he ran all the way over there to tell Jefferson.
We have 5 on the Cole timeout.
Take a timeout.
Well, now he's behind Ole Udo. Cole timeout! And then he lined up behind Ole Udo.
Minnesota.
Mike.
Their second.
Wow.
30-second timeout.
Uh-oh! Vikings radio with that awesome call. Man, you know it's bad. You know it's bad when the radio announcers are calling it out as he's doing it, and they're screaming at him. Call timeout!
Call timeout!
Man, that is so good. His own announcer is screaming at him. Call timeout!
Call timeout!
Man, I thought this dude was going to pull Lamar Thomas and go down the elevator and get in that thing.
I was about to go down the elevator and get in that thing.
Call timeout!
Call timeout!
Why do you even ponder lining up under the guard? This is not Detroit, man!
Why do you even ponder passing?
Call timeout!
Call timeout!
Hey, Avi, do me a favor. If it's not too much to ask, well, for one, call timeout!
Call timeout!
And then, can you run that back for me one more time? I mean, did Kirk Cousins truly line up under the guard?
Oh, he ran all the way over there to tell Jefferson.
We have 5 on the Call timeout.
Timeout.
Well, now he's behind Ole Udo. Call timeout! And then he lined up behind Ole Udo.
Minnesota.
Mike.
Their second.
Wow.
30-second timeout.
And just a word for Paul Allen. GOAT. This dude is so good. Call timeout!
Call timeout!
God, I love that. So good. I mean, listen, in Kirk's defense, that'll happen. That'll happen in high school football. That can't happen in the NFL. And it certainly can't happen on fourth down in the fourth quarter with the game on the line and the playoffs on the line. The stakes are way too high for a veteran quarterback like Kirk Cousins to be lining up under the guard. Like, I can't even believe I saw that. Lining up under the center. Yeah, that's where he should be. Lining up under guard? How the hell did that happen? Well, you ask Kirk, it just sort of, well, happened.
We just didn't get lined up properly, and the play clock was winding down. I was just moving, trying to get everybody settled up, and then just got under the wrong guy.
Just got under the wrong guy. Like, happens. Happens to us all.
Yeah, it happens. Happens to us all.
Except it doesn't, and it can't. Lining up under guard. What is this, Pee Wee football? That's a guy with 115 NFL starts under his belt, not a high school freshman. That is a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback, and he's lining up under the guard. I'm not going to say that's why they lost that game. I am going to say that's going to stick to him far more than any loss would. That's not quite the butt fumble, but it's in the same neighborhood of things that simply cannot happen. And as you might imagine, it only got worse from there, because instead of being pissed at his franchise quarterback lining up under guard, Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer was actually pissed about the refs and the Niners.
I mean, these guys hold all the time, so they're grabbing us around the waist, grabbing our backs, and, you know, officials, they don't want to call it every play, but until they start calling every play, they're not going to stop doing it.
Wow, Mike, really? I mean, I can't believe that guy went there with that. And then that got all the way back to George Kittle, who said, in essence, quit whining and play better.
I get away with a lot of holding. I mean, I think if you're running your feet and your hands in inside, just because a guy spins and flails his arm, it's not holding. He's just flopping. I mean, you can watch plenty of pass plays. I finally got a holding call out there in a pass route. I got hugged and tackled, and I think there are like three of those out there that don't get called. It's football, you know. Refs throw flags. Refs don't throw flags. It's just the game. And if you're going to sit on the sideline and complain about holding the whole time, I tell your guys to make better plays.
Man, that's good. That's good, and he's right. I actually love it. I love when coaches and players are trading shots like that. But what Kittle should have said was, is Zimmer really complaining about anybody or anything when his starting quarterback is lining up under guard in a critical situation? Holding. You're crying about us holding. Your bleeping quarterback is lining up under the guard, and you want to complain about holding. Man, stop wasting our time and remind your quarterback that the center is the guy who snaps the ball and not the guard. And do it before he lines up under the tight end next time or behind one of his split-out wide receivers. And how about that Sunday night matchup? Generally, I'm all about the AFC North. Love that division. So obviously, I was pretty hyped up to end a nice, long weekend with an America's Team Ravens Fister. That is, until I sat down and I actually started watching it. I mean, the hell was that? I know Baker Mayfield is all busted up, just as I know that Lamar Jackson was coming back from illness. But damn if that game didn't puke all over itself. Two offenses that couldn't do anything at all except turn the ball over. The only thing that redeemed that game was one play and one interview. Here is the play.
Jackson takes the snap. Pressure's coming. Cloudy almost got it. He's rolling back to the 35-yard line. Throws as he's hit. He throws to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Ravens. Middle of the field to Mark Andrews, who came back to make the touchdown reception. It's a 13-yard touchdown officially, but it was about a 37-yard pass from Lamar Jackson.
Ravens radio vintage Lamar. Man, that was something else, that play. Vintage Lamar. And then so was this after the game.
I'm hot, dude. I threw four interceptions, three first half. I feel like those drives, when the interceptions came, we could have did something on those drives. We could have put points on the board. And I just told my team, like, that's me. I owe y'all.
I like that. I like that. You got to respect that. QB1 wins a huge division game, and he's still pissed because he knows that he could have cost them that game. He knows they came that close to losing that game. So I like that reaction. That's kind of what makes Lamar Lamar. It's just funny to me, though, that Lamar wins a game and he's that pissed, but the legend that is Vita Vea loses a tooth and he thinks it's funny.
Take a look at Vita Vea here. Oh, he lost a tooth.
And he's smiling. That's oh my. The best part. Oh my gosh.
Does the tooth fairy come for 26-year-olds? I'm just asking.
I don't know.
That is unbelievable.
That was actually unbelievable. This dude's the best. His helmet slides back on his head. He takes some offensive lineman's bucket to his chiclets, spits one out, and he's laughing as he walks off the field. Blood is pouring out of this guy's mouth, and he's laughing. Vita is officially the biggest badass in a league full of them. You know what's not badass, though, right about now? Los Angeles Pro Football. Good thing Lincoln Riley's on his way, because that's going to provide cover for both the Rams and the Chargers, and they both need it because they both ate a lot of punches yesterday. The Broncos wrecked the Chargers in Denver, and it was all bad for the Bolts. I would tell you to, or ask you to, show me your lightning bolt! But now is not the time, especially after this pick six.
Quick throw to Eckler, deflected and intercepted. Pat Surtain down the west sideline. This may be a house call. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Denver. 70 yards for Pat Surtain. Second interception of the game. Second interception of the quarter by the rookie out of Alabama.
Pick bleeping six. And as long as we're talking about pick sixes in LA football, I can't not talk about Matthew Stafford. Man, I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, I love the move when the Rams brought him in, obviously. I loved it even more when he was an MVP candidate in September. But he's making that move and that MVP talk look pretty bad right about now. Five TDs and five picks in his last three games. Even worse, he threw another pick six yesterday.
Stafford, tight pocket. Hit as he throws left side. Yes! It's intercepted. Down yes! The right sidelines. Douglas to the house. High stepping. Touchdown. Green Bay. And a third quarter dagger. It's 36-17.
Over the last three games, he has thrown five TDs to his guys. And three to the other guys. Three straight games with a pick six. The most since Matt Schaub went four straight. That Schaub streak was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I never thought that I would see anything like that ever again. And yet Stafford is on the doorstep. The Rams have gone from being Super Bowl contenders to being just another team. To possibly being on the outside looking in. And even if they do get in, they should. But even if they do they really look like a team that's going to do any damage once they get there? Not playing the way they are right now. Not with Matthew Gofford as their starting quarterback.
That's pretty awesome.
Like, if Sean McVay, thank you, Alvy. If Sean McVay really is the smartest guy in the room, now would be a very good time to show it. Because that dream team that they were assembling has fallen apart. Like, I know they lost Robert Woods. I know how important Robert Woods was. I just didn't know he was the entire team. I love the moves they made. The players have to back it up, though. Matthew Stafford has a chance to prove that the struggles in Detroit were because he was in Detroit. And if he doesn't, that is all on him. Then again, in his defense, at least he never lined up under guard during an NFL game.
Oh, he ran all the way over there to tell Jefferson.
We have five on the call timeout. Well, now he's behind Ole Udo. Call timeout! And then he lined up behind Ole Udo.
Minnesota. They're second.
Call timeout!
30 seconds.
I'm surprised dude didn't just go over to the other side and rush himself.
Call timeout!
Be like if I came in the studio one day, during Iggy Pop. You know, like I'm running in late. I'm trying to get everything set up. Iggy Pop's going. I get my cue from Alvin. You're on. And I start talking into one of the cameras. And not the microphone. Like I'm yapping up into a camera. Never mind that I've been in the studio for 30 years. Not this studio, but a studio. Never mind that I've been speaking directly into a microphone for 30 years. I run right in, and I start yapping up into one of those cameras. Like, people say the butt fumble is the most embarrassing NFL quarterback moment. Nah. Mark Sanchez fumbling after running into his own lineman's buttocks is bad. But at least he had the common sense to receive the snap. Dan Orlovsky, I mean, my man's having a really nice media career. Credit for that. But him running out of the end zone for a safety is laughing at your field awareness, Kirk. Very clutch.
Call timeout!
But at least we got that from it. Call timeout!
Call timeout!
All right, so that's just something to get you started with. I've got a lot more NFL to get to, and I'm looking for you to actually do your job. I'm doing mine. Now I need you to do yours. Pick up the phone, call me up. What do you want to talk about? Any of that or something else? I do want to get into USC getting their guy. Did anybody see that coming? What an enormous pull for USC. And what a big loss for Oklahoma. Now they go to the SEC, and they do so without Lincoln Riley. And you could say that Lincoln Riley wanted to avoid going to the SEC, that he didn't go with Oklahoma, he didn't take that LSU job. It says here, this guy knows exactly what the hell he's doing. Great move for him, great move by them, big swing. And another wild weekend around the nation in college football, which we will get to as well. 1-800-636-8686. How was your long weekend? What's going on? What's cracking? Once again, Adrian Amos coming up at 9:40. Andy Staples and Charles Robinson coming up in hour number two. What you want to do is think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They are close, they are convenient, and they are known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you know you can trust. Do you need gift ideas? Their holiday gift guide has something for everybody on your list at prices under $15, such as a pair of Mechanics Wear black coated winter gloves, a Power Torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a Slime digital tire gauge, and so much more. Check out the holiday gift guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com. They even offer convenient options for you to get your order quickly. So purchase online at O'ReillyAuto.com and then pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They will even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your parts and your holiday gifts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so I got a really good opportunity for you. If you can make a really good telephone call, I will put you right on the air. Don't get me wrong. You know, I've got takes for days, but I'm looking for a way to get you in. So if you have a really good telephone call, I can get you right on the air. That's my opportunity for you. I also have a question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so amazing? Well, there's something to be said, right? For a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. I think some of you make that mistake, like beef jerky is beef jerky. No, it's not. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. And every single bite of Old Trapper is tender, never tough, because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in four amazing flavors. So what you should do is go get yourself a 4-ounce bag and kind of sample all of them, or load it up. Take that big swing with an 18-ounce bag. where you have enough for the entire team and family. If you don't see it, just be sure to ask for it by name. Old Trapper. No other jerky compares. Old Trapper. What's your beef? All right, some breaking news involving baseball. At Jeff Passan tweets, well, there are details to be worked out, and the numbers could change. Star right-hander Max Scherzer and the New York Mets are finalizing a deal expected to be in the three-year, $130 million range. Sources familiar with the situation tell ESPN that John Heyman was on the news. Let's do some math now. 3 years, $130 million.
Okay, so I've done the math on this never-ending possible.
I've done the math on that never-ending three-year contract with the Mets. That's well over $40 million a year. I mean, 43.3 a year. Good work if you can get it. But if you're going to take the bump every fifth day for the Mets, shouldn't it have a five in front of it? If I'm Scherzer, I'm like, nah, man. You come back to me when you can get to $50 million a year. I am playing for you. I'm not repping you for 43.3. 43.3 mil per. Some knucklehead somewhere will break that down per pitch. It's got to come out to be like a quarter of a mil per pitch, right? So the Mets trying to take a big swing. How else are you going to get somebody to take the ball? You're going to have to throw a hell of a lot of money at it. And they just did, apparently. Hey, Rome, Lamar Jackson, 3 years, $130 million, reportedly. Hey, Rome, Lamar Jackson had a horrible game. Regards, Cam Newton. Man, that boomeranged quickly, didn't it? I'm not saying, well, I kind of am, actually. I'm not saying that they can't get right and he can't get right, but that went, you want to talk about something escalating quickly. That went from, I'm back, to a passer rating of 5.8 pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. Yeah, that was not a good game for him or them. Hey, by the way, I'm kind of curious. How did not y'all do good. On your bets this past weekend? I have never worked so hard in my life to go 2-5 in the event that I'd gotten down.
Everybody get down.
Never been so happy to go 2-5 because I was looking at 1-6. Mike and Minnie, James, thank God it's Cyber Monday because I need to order a new TV after I smashed mine yesterday while watching the Vikings game. Straight ass, homie. I feel you, dude. But as angry as you were, you still were not as angry as the GOAT, Paul Allen.
Great cash, homie.
Call timeout!
God, what a great drop that is. Call timeout. I mean, he is just furious. And he had every right to be. When your franchise quarterback is lining up under guard in a critical moment, you've got every right to be that upset.
Call timeout!
This one says, I think that Vita looks great. Yours truly, Margot Kidder, toothless in the woodpile. It's a bit much. Mental health is no laughing matter. Hey, Rome. I'm back!
I'm back!
Regards, Cam Newton, 24% completion percentage, 2 picks, and a loss. You know, I would love to take up for Cam in that situation, but I can't. He did not play well at all. At all. And harder to take up for him after he made such a point of telling everybody he's back. And I kind of got sucked into it myself. I was on the NFL today on CBS saying, I'm telling you, man, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. He's given this entire team and organization a jolt of adrenaline. And then a passer rating, quarterback rating of 5.8. Hence from Bacon, quote, Can someone please tell the Browns that the 12th man is not supposed to actually be on the field of play? Signed, Seahawks fan.
This is not happening.
JJ Sportmo is in. Hey, Jim, good morning. Alvin is so thankful for his new drop to get you into hard outs and breaks. War, call timeout!
Call timeout!
That is pretty good, actually. I don't know, Alvy. Alvy kind of raised his eyebrows at me. Which do you prefer, Alvy? Michael Jordan's break?
Break.
Or call timeout!
Call timeout!
He still likes break.
Break.
Interesting. At Sal in Arkansas tweets, quote, "Dear Matt Gofford, thanks a lot. Due to your performance yesterday, I will be editing a new film directed by Odell Beckham Sr. Sincerely, The Splicer." Well, I was going to get to The Splicer. I've got thoughts. You know he was at the editing bay. And then this one. Hey, Jim. Another Jaguar Sunday, another undisciplined and stupid penalty-littered effort by Pervin Liars crew.
That was devastating.
I got to stop right there. That will never not be funny. Pervin Liar. Normally, when something is kind of clone-induced, clone-generated, clone-enhanced, it can oftentimes be really lame, like the Atlanta Fail Clowns. You would think that Pervin Liar would fall under that same thing, but for some reason that makes me laugh. Pervin Liar, Jaguar head coach, Pervin Liar. The only thing better is when you clones reset Pervin Liar on hump day.
Stay to see the grandkids.
I mean, a Pervin Liar reference on a Monday is good, but Pervin Liar on hump day is even better. Anyway, hey, Jim, another Jaguars Sunday, another undisciplined and stupid penalty-littered effort by Pervin Liar's crew.
Stay to see the grandkids.
As there is no threat of that newcomer coming in to steal the show, can we please fire that bag already? Hell, he's making Matt Nagy look like an effective coach. He's making me miss the days of Jack Del Rio's locker room lumberjacking. Vince in Illinois.
You can't have a newcomer come in and
steal the show. The answer to the question is yes. Yes, you can fire Pervin Liar.
You're a liar.
But for some reason, the owner seems to actually like Pervin Liar. He'll make it through the year. He'll make it into next year. I'm sure he'll make a number of changes on the staff. I'm not sure it's going to make any difference whatsoever. But clearly he's in way over his head, and it's not what he signed up for, or he didn't know what he was signing up for, and they are undisciplined, and they're not smart, and they're hard to watch. And the thing is, you know, it's one thing to get going and then to improve week by week, except Perv's offense has actually gotten worse. It's not getting better. Over their last three games, they're now under 14 points per game. So he's getting worse, not better. They're getting worse, not better. When we come back, the Packers with another big win. Adrian Amos will be joining me next. He's their safety. Next hour, we go back-to-back. Andy Staples and Charles Robinson. I'm telling you, man, when I say you have an opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity. Call the program. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Alvin. Call timeout!
Call timeout!
Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. We were rolling right through hour number one. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. And we'll get your phone calls on the air shortly. But first, we are joined by a safety for the Green Bay Packers. He had four tackles in yesterday's win over the Rams. For the season, 67 tackles, six passes defensed, a couple of INTs. Played his college ball at Penn State. He was the 142nd pick overall in 2015. The Packers are 9-3. They're in first in the division, and they're hosting Chicago on December 12th. Adrian Amos is my guest. Adrian, great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, dude, good. Really good to have you. So let me first start by asking you, you had an enormous play late in the first half when you made that stop on 4th-and-1. Really an incredible play, and one that set up the offense to score points on the next drive. Can you tell me what you saw on that play? Was that just strictly a reaction, or was that the result of some intense film study?
You know, it was a little bit of both. I know during the week we got a couple tips from Coach Gray about the run game and on 4th-and-short. And, you know, when I saw the play going to the right a little bit, I said, I'm going to shoot my gun. I said, either way, I'm going to shoot this gap and, you know, and see what happened. But, yeah, it was a 4th-down stop, and it was good to get us off the field on 4th-down.
No doubt. Adrian Amos joining us. You know, you had faced Matthew Stafford a number of times in the NFC North. So from a preparation standpoint, what's it like when you go up against a guy that you know well but who's now in a different system?
You have to look more towards the system. You know, with an offense like that, they're a similar offense today to what they were last year on the Rams. And, you know, you have a different quarterback that can make different throws. That's what you look at when you look at a particular player. You look at what types of throws can he make, what does he like to do, how does he like to look off. But you have to prepare for the scheme more so.
We're talking to Adrian Amos. That makes sense to me. And then you've got Rasul Douglas, right? He had a pick six off Stafford late in the third quarter, and that gave you a 36-17 lead. I'm curious, what were you thinking as that play unfolded, and then how huge a moment was that?
It was a great play. It was a great play by him. He does a lot of film study, and you know, he was playing real aggressive yesterday, and that was a big play. I think that was our first touchdown as a defense this year. And, yeah, it was a big play in the game. You know, I think we could have finished the game out a little bit better so it can stay at that 17 mark. But, you know, all in all, that was still a big play and huge for our win.
In fact, he had that huge interception in the win over Arizona as well, and then that pick six. Right. So he's made a big difference already. What about the defense overall? When the defense is healthy and it's playing at its best, how good is this unit?
You know, we can be as good as we want to be. We have all the pieces. We all have all the tools. We play together. We just have to be more consistent each and every play. We had two plays that we were one back from yesterday that we were one back. But as we continue to get even more healthy, we still have a lot of our top guys that are hurt as well. But, you know, people that are stepping in have been great for us. And, you know, I think the sky's the limit. We get this rest. This is going to be big for us this bye week, and then get back to these, you know, this final stretch.
Adrian Amos is joining us. So you mentioned the bye. What about that? You've got the bye before you face the Bears. So how do you plan on spending that bye week yourself? And then how valuable is it to get some time off at this point of the season?
Man, just relaxing. That's the key. Just relaxing. Staying a little active, but mostly getting off my feet, recovering. You know, I like to watch all my clips from the first half of the season or before the bye, and just watch myself, just see little things that I can pay attention to more when we come back. But mostly relaxing and getting that body right.
I think that's pretty interesting. Like, so when you come back, you'll have 5 games left. Normally you'd be looking at 4 games left in the regular season. So how does it feel to you to have a 17-game regular season instead of 16? What's that like now?
You just got to take it one game at a time. Just take it as in, you know, last year, you expect to be, you know, have playoff games too. So, you know, you have to play more games anyway. So, it's no point of, you know, we complain about that in the off season, but during the season now, we just in it. We got to take it one game at a time, and it's coming, you know, and just another opportunity to, you know, to put ourselves in a great standings heading into the playoffs.
Did you get to play like some mental gymnastics to kind of get yourself to a place of, oh, great, now we have to do that as opposed to, or no, now we get to do that instead of having to do that? Is there some of that going on?
For sure, for sure. You know, that's what I mean when I say as far as, you know, it's another opportunity now. There's another opportunity to place ourselves in a position, you know, to, you know, have the NFC come through Lambeau. So, you know, that's another opportunity, another chance. And then, you know, hopefully, you know, yeah, like I said, everything come through Lambeau. And I think that's going to be, you know, that's always our goal. But it's one step at a time, one step at a time. So we got this bye week, and then we got Chicago.
Adrian Amos is joining us. You know, you mentioned having to come through Lambeau. That's obviously the key, right? You're playing for that. You want them to come to your house. I mean, you want the bye, but you want that game at home. What's it like late in the year, that time of year, to have teams come in and deal with the elements of Lambeau? How challenging is that for the opposition? And can you kind of see it on them when they come in and they see what they're up against?
Oh, for sure. That's to anybody. It's cold, but you have to, like, you know, even with us, we just have to lock in mentally. I don't think you necessarily get used to the cold, but it's just about learning how to deal with the elements. And when people come here, it's just a different. You think you know it, you think you got it, but then when you really in those elements, it's, you know, it's a different story. The hits hurt a little bit more. The scrapes hurt, you know what I'm saying, it hurt a little bit more. And the ball is actually harder as well, like, you know what I'm saying, to catch, to throw, different things like that. So, you know, I think, you know, that's to our advantage if people have to come here.
Dude, I think that's actually an awesome description. Like, for instance, I've got nothing to compare it to, obviously, because I don't do that. But I've been in cold weather. Like, I did some work, Adrian, for CBS at the AFC Championship game in Kansas City. Dude, I was outside for like a half hour, and I'm still not right. A couple years later, I didn't hit anybody. Nobody hit me. I didn't have to do jack, but talking to a camera for like 2 minutes, and I'm still not right 2 years later. So, I mean, I understand you get to go to the bench. I understand they're big heaters, they're big jackets. But in terms of getting ready for the elements, is there really anything you can do, or just kind of go mind over matter?
It's really that mind over matter. You got little techniques that you do as far as, you know, I'm not going to tell you all my tricks that I do before I go out there.
I got you.
You know, to stay warm. But, you know, it's just different things that you just get accustomed to. I wouldn't say that you just all the way, you don't feel it, because, yes, you know, we're cold too. But it's just something that you have to, you know what I'm saying, you have to have it in your mind. You have to have your plan, you know, to go out there and handle those elements.
All right, so I can tell you're locked in, so you probably aren't spending a lot of time looking back on what you've accomplished since you got there. But yesterday was your 100th NFL start, and probably when it's all said and done, you'll think about these numbers and what you've accumulated in terms of career stats over your entire football life. But that's a big number in and of itself. What's that milestone mean to you right now? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, you know, when I played the game yesterday, after the game, you know, I just think about the blessings that it, you know, it took to get here. Sometimes when you're in the moment, you don't understand, you know, how big that is to be able to actually even just be healthy enough to have 100 starts, or, you know, to be good enough in this, when you go into percentages and stuff like that, and with me being a fifth round pick. I don't think a lot of people would have projected me to be a starter of 100 games. So I feel good and I feel blessed, and I feel like you know, that's a tribute to my family, to God, to, you know, to a lot of things, that a lot of factors that helped me to get to this day.
I want to be clear about something else too. Not only is, when you're a fifth round pick, there aren't too many guys that make it the way you have and get 100 starts like that, but also you've made an impact from the very beginning. I mean, you've been starting from the very beginning, so there's that as well. Also, before you go, you had a great tweet last week involving Thanksgiving, which read, quote, "If anything on your dinner table has the word casserole in it, never invite me over," end of quote. So how was Thanksgiving, and was anybody courageous enough to bring a casserole of any sort around you?
Oh, Thanksgiving was great, and no casseroles. No casseroles. I know a lot of people, you know, show me pictures of their casserole. That's what made me say it. You know, just seeing the what was it? Is it green bean casserole?
Thank you,
something
dude.
Like that.
Thank you, dude. I'm so glad you said that.
I can't deal with that.
My man, I never, ever interrupt anybody because I don't want to be rude. Sorry I did that. But I was so excited that you just said that because on the show before Thanksgiving, I said the one thing I'm not having is that green bean casserole, man. Never has anything been so overrated. Don't bring those fake fried onions and that green bean casserole. Exactly. You're so right about that, man. I'm so glad you said that. Is there any casserole at all that works that you're even open to?
I maybe need to do my research more, but I've only seen a certain amount of casseroles and things like that. So, I haven't dug deep into what classifies as a casserole, but I haven't seen any casseroles that I like so far.
Let me tell you something. Don't and forgive my use of language here, but a green bean, not Green Bay, green bean casserole classifies as ass, if you ask me, man. It just makes me mad, dude. It puts me in a bad mood. I'm so glad that you and I are on the same page on that. Really quickly, as long as we're talking food and Thanksgiving, what's your reaction when Matthew Judon was saying that macaroni and cheese is, quote, just cheese and noodles, so it's not good? Get that off the table. Yeah, I don't know about that. Where do you come out on that?
Yeah, he tripping. Him and Humphrey from Baltimore, they talk bad about macaroni, but I think they need to come to my house in Baltimore because I'm from Baltimore, and then they both have roots in Baltimore, so they can come on over and have some of my mom's macaroni and cheese, and it won't disappoint.
My thing about that is those two dudes, good players, bad take. Good players, bad opinion. Adrian Amos, my guest, safety of the Packers. My man, great to have you on the show. That was a lot of fun. Really appreciate you. Yeah. Enjoy the bye week. Hope we can do it again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
that'd
be good. Adrian Amos. Isn't that amazing? He went right to the green bean casserole. But then again, it's not amazing. Because other than Dodger Jano, who likes that? Dodger Jano is all about it.
You like that?
No. You like lining up under guard? You like that?
Call timeout!
All right, we are coming back. Hour number two. On the other side, I do have an open segment, but then I have back-to-back interviews. So choose wisely. 1-800-636-8686.